Rehabilitation Services Administration, and they talk about regulations and things that may have changed, give us new guidance, and there's other presenters about best practices for different topics within VR. And then usually the meeting following that conference, either Mary, I, or both talk about what we learned and what we gained from the conference.
So do you have to give a report to your boss as to what you attended and what was discussed briefly?
No, I don't have to submit a report. My boss, the commissioner, she gets the agendas and she approves me to travel and go or not, and she did approve this time. So, I mean, if she wants a report, I'm always happy to give her one, but I don't have to submit anything in writing like that as a report.
Okay. So what you're saying is you give a verbal report at our next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, is it possible to give us just a short, like, Mary attended these sessions and you attended these sessions, and a one sentence basically on what it was about or not?
I mean, we could. I mean, most of the sessions are what we call general sessions, so Mary and I would be in the same ones. But I mean, it's two conferences back to back, like for 8-9 hours every day. So I mean, I could do that if the board really wants a report like that.
Hey, Bill, I think what happened, this is Phil, back in April, I attended the spring sessions down in Bethesda along with Mary and Carol, and there were some other people with respect to the BEP program as well. And at our, I think it was a June meeting and then our special meeting, I did kind of what I attended, what I took away from it. We did discuss it during the June meeting. Actually, Mary, yeah, it was June, because Mary, you had some comments, because I thought it was a little bit over my head, and you said, you know, don't worry about it. So me being a newbie there, yeah, it was the floodgates opened with information, but it was helpful with respect to learning about the BEP program and the way the program works. So yeah, I think in general, the attendees do routinely try to give a summary of what the conference was about, because typically there's a theme to these. And if anyone needs information, you know, I can get you the syllabus or the agendas as well. I just received the email the other day. A little bit too late to go, but did receive it. Anything, Mary?
Yeah, Go ahead, Bill.
Sorry.
No, I'm just going to add to lately, because there's a lot of attendees, they've been recording a lot of the sessions and putting them on the website. So maybe what we could do is next meeting, just let you know what the different topics were, and then, you know, kind of guide you into how to get those recorded sessions if you wanted to listen to them. I think they're available for anyone, the public, so.
Well, that's a good idea. Since the state has a membership in those two organizations, everyone should have access to that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that they put it on their website, which is pretty much open. You don't even need to be a member. But yeah, so if anybody had a really interest in, like, BEP, we'll always use BEP because it's always a topic, you know, then, you know, we could go to that session and listen to it and fast forward through things you don't want to listen to. And yeah, so.
Yeah, this is Bill speaking. I guess where I'm trying to go with this is that if two BESB people go and it doesn't help the rest of the board to understand what's going on, right? If we don't know and you don't share with us, and I always like things in writing ahead of time, because you can kind of make the decisions better, or at least review the information better. It just seems like we need to share amongst all the other board members so that we know the direction other states are going in and where we can make our place better. That's all. And it's in accountability. I'm surprised that the state government doesn't require some type of written report after they pay for people to go to a conference. But I guess that's, you know, that's each state is different. But I know we're
going to
conferences.
We do need to verify that we did attend. Like, yes. So that's one thing. But just to kind of add, sorry to interrupt again, but you know, is one of the benefits of this conference. I've been going to it for a number of years. Is the collaboration between the states that you don't necessarily get in the sessions. So being able to be in person and we meet with our technical assistance centers, because all of them are there, you know, to be able to, you know, talk with somebody from Delaware or California, you know, about their best practices is one of the major benefits of that conference.
And when you're saying with your technical assistance center, you mean for the federal government?
Yeah, we have
education.
Technical assistance centers through
they might not know
CSABR, that, or I guess RSA, I'm not sure.
RSA,
who, you know, throughout the country, like through George Washington, other, you know, universities that specialize in different things, and they're all there, available to ask questions. You know, like we had a question on transition or pre-employment transition services, we would, you know, meet up with that person who's responsible for that. So a lot of the conference's benefit outside of just attending the sessions that are reported, you know, are the collaborations to be able to really meet other, you know, staff from, you know, other states. And the hotel sold out the minute it went actually out to the public. So the chances, there's going to probably be a ton of participants again, like there was in the fall. But I mean, I'd be happy, you know, along with Carol, to, you know, give a little summary on what I learned from the conference in December, like what I felt that I benefited from.
Yeah, and this is Bill speaking again. And that's exactly, Mary, what I'm looking for is, you know, I totally agree with you that you learn a lot of times just as much or more on the sidelines and being, you know, having dinner with someone or whatever. But if you just gave bullet points and said, met with a guy in Washington State that had an interesting idea that I think we can apply to Connecticut, and just say one sentence. You know, I'm not asking for any kind of long literary type of report. I'm just trying to quickly learn what you guys do, what the board's position, what we should be doing to make us better. And one other suggestion, if I could, I'm a newbie to this board, but if you can, with all the acronyms, I don't know all your acronyms, so if you could kind of give me RSAs and blah, 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 CBBs and blah, blah, I don't know those like you guys know them off the, you know, that rolls off your tongue. It would help me a great deal.
I will second that, Bill. This is Deb.
Yep, okay. Great. Thank you, Jen.
No, points well taken, Bill. And when I went to the spring conference, it was alphabet soup all day long, and a lot of people who were new like me there ran into the same thing. So it really, a lot of things were meaningless. But it will put you at ease. It's not like an Amway convention. It was really a lot of learning. The speakers were really good. I mean, from every government department, there were the specialists who were there. I mean, there was someone from the White House. You know, the keynote speaker was a deputy director for Department of Education, special education. So the information there is top notch. It was just, for me, a little bit over my head for just being the chair for a few months. Unfortunately, even though I attended in the spring, I didn't receive any notice at all about the fall registration or anything. I just happened to get a vendor registration email by mistake. So it might be too late for me to attend now, but it is something that the chair typically does attend from BESPE, our SRC chair, because it does give them a little bit different look at what's going on out there. So as you said, can come back to Connecticut and say, well, these states are doing this, why aren't we doing this? And a good example of that is when the exhibit and vendor hall I went to, met a lot of really interesting people with a lot of, you know, their businesses who try to get contracts with the state to provide services when the state either can't or have too many clients. And I just, you know, a Facebook post last night from David Todorus that he's in Connecticut working with BESPE. Like, didn't know that. So the networking opportunities.
He's basically here, but he's.
Okay, it's always here. You're going to yell his name and try to find him in the hallway.
He's a virtual trainer.
Okay. But David's great. So the opportunities for us to learn when it's virtual. I think last year there were a lot of opportunities for anyone in the SRC. And thank Carol. I think Mary put it out last year before, if anyone wanted to go. I think it was when you first came here, Carol, with the pre-conference. If anyone wanted to go from the VR SRC, they could attend those conferences. So if as more become virtual like that or the hybrid, we'll make sure that people are able to go. There is money to do this. And as I brought back last time, the takeaway, in addition to having vendors out there that could help our state provide services, the big takeaway has always been for the past two conferences I attended, most states are giving back money to the federal government. And that just means that the money is not being spent on services for the people or their states. So vendors are a way for us to spend the money and provide the services. So I'm not saying it's Connecticut's is that situation, but the big takeaway was that the feds see too much money coming back and not being spent on blind people. So hopefully we're going to try to spend as much money as we can here in Connecticut.
I make a motion that we do that.
Spend money?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
On blind people in Connecticut. I don't think if the federal government gives you money, you should return it. That's just not the way, then you don't get another grant. You know, they frown upon that. So,
and if you don't spend a certain amount for certain budget items, you get penalized for that.
Exactly.
So the conferences, you know, if anyone's interested, you know, we could send out the link. If people want to, then contact me, or we can send a general email about it. So you can just see what's being covered at these events. But you know, it's not just professional development. It's just really getting information that's crucial to the people here doing their job the best they can and being on top of what's going on and what are the new best practices out there in other states and they're being adopted. I personally spoke with Mr. Downey down in D.C., who's our liaison from RSA Rehabilitation Service Administration, and he was awesome to work with. He said, do you know that there is an SRC association? Like, no, so we have to join that so that us volunteers can have access to that information and network with other state rehab councils. Because I think for too many years, this SRC was kept in a silo. It was under the control, as I mentioned many times, of the former director, and the SRC did not have the opportunity to stretch their legs out and do what they could to help the program. I'll remind everyone, you know, in the same breath, under the bylaws for our SRC, if you look at Title II, it really says what we're here for. And continuing education opportunities should also apply to us, because if we don't know what's going on, we don't know what our job is, we don't know how best we can help the state and our fellow blind, we're wasting our time, frankly. So the more education we can get, it's a win-win-win for everyone. So that was a long way of answering your question, but I think the conferences are worthwhile. There's money for them. I know that Carol has to seek pre-approval to even, you know, have people go to these conferences. So it's not just, hey, we're going to go party down in Bermuda. If we're Bermuda, maybe I'd go. But no, they're worthwhile and they're very helpful. Any other questions on that?
Yeah, it's Bill, just to sum it up, one, we don't have to belabor the point. Two, I totally agree with everything you're saying, Phil, and just sharing information with the board will make us smarter and better board.
Absolutely.
Members. That's all.
Okay. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
We're going to jump to the success story, if the success story is ready.
I believe they may be online. I just got a call from Charlotta. Yeah, I was going to say so.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Charlotta.
Hi, how are you? I'd like to introduce Haley Jackson. I am, first of all, I'll let you know, I'm the pre-employment projects coordinator, and I'd like to introduce Haley Jackson, who is a student at UConn and a student of mine, and she's going to be talking to you today about her experience over the summer and through pre-employment transition services in school. So, Haley?
Hi, I'm Haley. So, I've been with BESVI for about 8 years now. And since the beginning, they've helped very much with just meeting new people, finding my community, and just getting used to all the technology and assistance that I need, and also just speaking up for myself and advocating for what I need, because previously I was not very good at it. So I've gotten much better at that, and I have now started over the summer working at a work learning experience at a stem cell biology lab. And over the summer, I got to meet a bunch of new people in the field that I want to enter, and I made those connections. I got some experience actually hands-on with doing stuff in the lab, writing SOPs, everything that I will need to do in the future. And I have been invited back for next summer, which I'm very excited for. And along with that, I've been working as a mentor in the new mentor and mentee program. And I think, so up at school, I'm just studying biology and working as a part-time barista. And I would like to go into stem cell biology, which is the field that I was working in this summer. So yeah, are there any questions?
Any questions for a success story?
Hi, Haley. It's Kendra Valenti.
Kendra?
Hi, Haley. How are you? It's Kendra. How you doing? First of all, I'm a UConn grad, so go UConn. I guess that was a million years ago, so it looks a lot different. And my son's there now. So congratulations to you. Love hearing your story. And what, I guess I'm wondering, stem cell, you said, in biology? What are you looking to do as a career, or, you know, further your options as you go forward?
So I wasn't quite sure specifically what I wanted to do with biology up until this summer. I was exploring ecology and also microbiology. And then Charlotte introduced me to Marsha, one of the presidents at Vesta Biotherapeutics. And I just said yes. Like, I'm like, of course, I'd love to go and work in the lab and just try something out. And we mostly just work on different types of cell cultures, differentiating them, and just finding out what factors we need to do that. And then they also work on selling the media for those stem cultures to other research companies. And I think that's pretty much exactly what I want to do at this point, because I've absolutely loved the experience, and I loved just the work environment in general. So I'd like to go into research with stem cells and just cell culturing in
general. Unknown participant is now exiting.
And I'd like to explore that field more, but also I'm open to anything in that general area. But I think I have found that I do like the research lab environment.
So that is way over my head. Very impressive. Certainly with challenges, right, that you have. So kudos to you. That is, I mean, that's amazing. And I'm just curious too, obviously you have a lot of support from Charlotte. Does UConn do anything? Do you get additional support services for them?
Yeah, so I'm with CSD at UConn, and they do a really good job with getting me alt text if I need it. Mainly what I do with them is take my exams, so I get double time on all my exams.
Sure.
Since I use a CCTV and magnified documents. So what they usually do is put it on a flash drive, magnify it, and then I could use that and then write on a written exam or use a CCTV. And they just got some new technology as well, compatible with Macs. So they have a big display monitor and then a very like new CCTV. So I've been using that, and they just have little private rooms that you could go take your exams in. They do a lot of other things as well, but I usually just use the exam setting with them.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. Very impressive, Haley. Congratulations. Love it.
Thank you.
Haley, this is Deb Reed. I'd also like to congratulate you. And I'm wondering, as far as your actual work in the lab with the cell culturing, is there any kind of magnification or assistance that helps you to do that work?
Yeah, so I'd say about 4 years back, I went and saw a specialist in New York at the same place that I was diagnosed, and they gave me these bifocals that I'll use when I'm doing any sort of like pipetting and stuff, because there was a little bit of a difficulty, because the environment that I have to work in has to be sterile, so I can't touch anything outside of the hood and then bring it back in. It needs to stay in there. So it had to be something that I couldn't touch. So I started using the bifocals, and then I also just had a magnifier come in that could clip onto the back of my chair and rest in front of the glass so that I could leave it there and just be able to look through. I won't have to touch it or move it, which is perfect. Because it is difficult. A lot of the pipettes have little numbers on it, and it's very small, tedious work. So it is a little bit difficult to get used to, but with those magnifications, I was able to manage.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah. Anyone else? Comments or questions?
I just wanted to ask you, Haley, how did the employer... the employer and your coworkers handle the visual impairment, and how did they work with you while at work?
They were probably the best they could possibly be. Marcia, the president, she had a son who was also visually impaired and had a few other disabilities, and so she was very understanding. And she knew, like, that we had to do things a little bit differently and just be flexible. It was a little bit of a learning curve. And she always stressed to me, everyone starts at zero. Everyone starts at zero and you work your way up. And that helped me a lot because I do put a lot of pressure on myself to be perfect. And to have that encouragement and saying, like, you don't always have to be perfect. Like, you work from the bottom up. Was great. So it was a good environment. Like, if I made mistakes, it was all right. We correct them and learn from it. And all the other coworkers were very understanding, and they would always ask me how they could help, what's the best way to do things. And it was a good environment to just experiment and see what I need to do to be able to see things.
And then I have one other question.
Outstanding.
Another thing that you can, maybe you could just talk just a little bit about your experience with the mentoring program. I know you're mentoring another student who's just getting started at UConn, and I know you guys are just sort of getting started, but I don't know if you want to just say a word or two about that.
Yeah, so I met with my mentee for the first time over the summer virtually, and I feel like right away we clicked. We have very compatible personalities, and we share very similar experiences, and I think it was beneficial for both of us, because when she came to campus and I met her for the first time, I was able to show her to her classes and help her get her bearings on campus, because it is a fairly big campus, and we sort of just got talking about shared experiences. When we're talking to people, sometimes they'll think we're looking over their shoulder or talking to someone else, and so we sort of bonded over that and just common experiences with diagnosis and stuff like that. So that was really nice to meet someone who has such a similar experience to me and have them on campus. And I think it was also very beneficial to her to, one, transition into college, which can be very difficult, especially for someone who's visually impaired, and then also just have someone who they know on campus. Because I know when I first came to campus as a freshman, it was a little bit intimidating coming and knowing that I knew zero people on campus, and I was just going to make new friends and meet, everything was brand new. It's nice to have a little bit of a cushion to fall back in and know that someone you can be comfortable with is there.
Thank you. Thank you, Haley.
Okay, Haley, this is Phil McGownick. I'm the chair of the SRC, the State Rehab Council. I want to thank you for being here with us. I really want to thank you for your enthusiasm and pursuing education and a career that makes you happy and for having that great attitude. We wish you much success, and I personally am expecting great things from you. I want to see you in one of these big journals published one day, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful story.
Thanks for new business. And then we'll go into your report. And We're waiting.
Yes.
I want to apologize for the discombobulation today between the weather and our car ready getting up here. And at the same time, everyone's phone and watch was going off with weather alerts and shelter in place. It's been a little crazy, but I appreciate everyone's patience. We're going to go to elections. The bylaws stipulate elections every year for officers, that is chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. We have not had a vice chair, and I'll open the floor if there's any interest in anyone who would like to serve as an officer, one of the four mentioned. Is there anyone interested in the chairmanship? About vice chair? Secretary?
Hey, Bill, would you be interested to be vice chair?
If I wouldn't want to take it away from anyone else, but I'd be happy to.
Turn the chair.
I was just getting a discussion first. I haven't said anything. So,
Phil, do you want to be chair?
Yeah, if anyone is not interested in serving as chair, I would be honored to serve another term.
So I move that Phil M. becomes chairman. I nominate him.
I'll second that.
I don't have a vice chair to ask for a vote.
It goes chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer.
We can do it one slate once we have the nominees, I think. That's saving some time. So any vice chair, Bill, you would take vice chair?
If no one else wants it, I would do that.
Okay. Secretary, Lucretia, are you still interested?
Sure, I don't mind, but if anybody else wanted it, I would step down.
I didn't hear any hands going up. Treasurer, Scott?
Sure, I'm happy to do it again, but, you know, like the others, if someone else has an interest, I can take one giant step backwards, but I'm happy to do it.
So with that said, anyone other than us four interested in serving as an officer this term? Hearing none, is that something?
I'm going to make a motion that the secretary place one ballot in favor of the all nominations.
For the slate, okay.
I'll second that motion, John McNichol.
Okay, so all in favor of the secretary casting one vote for the slate as already discussed for the four officers, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Officers will remain the same with the addition as of Bill DeMayo as a vice chair. Thank you, Bill, for stepping up.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I will be on vacation for the next 11 months. It's yours.
I knew you'd pull that one on me.
But thank you, everyone. So election's over. We're going to move to the calendar for the 2023-24 year. I know last year we did a flip-flop for this meeting in September, which is usually later on in the month. Anyone have any ideas or changes they want to propose for the quote-unquote necessary quarterly meetings?
Those are good.
Is there a better time? Better day. Okay. So I guess we'll just maintain the same schedule as always. Is it the third Wednesday of each month that we've been going?
Yes. Okay. In the past, it's been the third Wednesday of the month.